Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
Every Wednesday, we check in with the Director of Media Relations for Indiana University. He's our great friend, Dr. Chuck Carney. Good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
I am doing well. You as well?
A little gloomy today. I'm all right with gloom on Monday because I always have things to do. But 3 days of gloom, that's enough. But we get rewarded, like I just mentioned, fantastically. Tomorrow's going to be 81 and sunshine. So welcome to Bloomington. Stick around and hang on if you don't. And if you don't like
fun the weather. Fun for the sinuses.
That is right. A little pressure changing. No, that's not fun at all. Musical selections today. Last week we were going with a little Brubeck. Anything on the turntables this afternoon?
You know, I have at my reach right here, I have the Hamilton soundtrack and then the latest James Taylor CD, which is American Standard, which both of which I highly recommend. But if you probably heard about Hamilton, if you haven't heard the latest James Taylor,
I did not know he was putting out a new album.
It's actually been out a little while, but it is all standards. I mean, really some old stuff. Old Man River is on this. My Blue Heaven, Moon River. I mean, it's good stuff. If you like James Taylor, you'll like this. If you like show tunes, you'll really like it.
I like James Taylor, so I should take a listen to that at some point. Kellums isn't here again. I don't know when we're going to see him again. He's working for a living. For a guy that's retired, he's got more jobs than I know what to do with. So we will play the game as we always do. Guess Chuck Carney's regalia today. Is it shirt and tie, suit coat, the whole nine yards? Is it casual open top collar, sport coat, or is it the hell with it. I don't have any more TV appearances before I go to class today. A, B, or C. Chuck, the right answer would be?
Medieval suit of armor.
Very nice. And I can't find those anywhere. How did you find one that fits your size? That's the key.
The museums are kind of closed up a lot of them these days. So, I mean, you can get some things these days.
I do my shopping at the Mathers Museum, and they have everything for my size, and it's great. They're not open either.
Yeah, but I'm in the business casual. So I did my usual Wednesday webinar, got out of the coat and tie. And then when I teach a little bit later, I'll actually put the coat on because, yes, I am actually that weird. I have to have the coat on to teach.
It reeks of formality. It reeks of authoritativeness or authoritarian.
In any way you talk about it.
It's tweed. Does it have the elbow patches? Do you have to do the elbow patch thing? Is that part of the requirement?
Your average navy blazer.
All right, the fun is fun, but as you said, you worked earlier today, so that means the dashboard update. What have we learned? Last week was the first in 4 weeks that we ticked in the opposite direction. Now, I say ticked because we didn't have some massive swing or a V-shape, not recovery, whatever be the opposite of that. What are we learning here in week number 5?
Well, still good, and it went back down. So it's really interesting to watch this in light of what a lot of the listeners just heard at the governor's news conference. I mean, things are not going particularly well in the state overall, but locally it's going pretty well, and we're still doing well on the Bloomington campus. So our COVID-19 positivity rate on mitigation testing for all of our campuses was 0.8%. This is all the campuses throughout the state. That was 1.1% the week before. The positivity rate for Bloomington in mitigation testing this last week was just 0.7%. It also was 1.1% the week before. Now, that's mitigation testing. Those are all the tests that we do as a random sample, and that includes those who we may be focused on, but also just a random sampling, and gives us the best idea of what the community might be testing at. And now, if you take that, combine it with the symptomatic testing that we get every week, then you get a prevalence rate. The prevalence rate is the mitigation test, and that is the prevalence across the campus. So for Bloomington, it was 0.6%. So that's pretty low overall. Symptomatic testing, which is testing for those who have shown symptoms of the disease and then go get tested, indeed do test positive, was at 28.4%. Now, that, of course, you expect to be high because these are people who report that they're sick already. But nonetheless, the prevalence rate overall shows that we're still pretty low. And if you want to put it this way, it may be safer to be on a Bloomington campus anywhere in the state than it is to be in the state generally.
Why do you think that is? Just because everybody is, quote unquote, forced to follow the rule because they're a student, faculty, or employee of the university? Is that the main factor, or is it just simply an educated population that understands it?
Well, I think it's both, really, because if you start looking at them, and I was not listening to the governor's news conference, but was following along on Twitter with some of the queries the reporters were putting in. And a lot of the discussion is enforcing the mask mandate. Well, we don't have that discussion. We have had very little discussion about people not following the mask rules at IU Bloomington or any of our campuses. And so it's really not been an issue. When we have had issues with people who have not followed the regulations, they've suffered the consequences, and some students have been suspended. But that's been really relatively few. It's mostly been that we've followed the rules and we have gone the right way because of it. There's very little evidence that there's any classroom transmission whatsoever, and that may be the safest place of all, because if you go into a classroom, it's generally been cleaned more than once during the day, plus the cleaning supplies are in the room so that everybody who uses a desk area is to clean it before and after use. You combine that with the mask use, then it sets up for what we hoped it would be, which is a fairly safe atmosphere.
Dr. Chuck Carney is our guest, the Director of Media Relations for Indiana University. I saw a fraternity house reopen. What is this? How does that work? Is that something that they've checked off all the boxes they need to check off? They get their permits from the county, and away they go. Are all fraternities and sororities, Greek houses, excuse me, Theta Chi is the one I saw, the example in the IDS. They're learning how to live with this as well?
Well, they're working with the county, and so that was something that where they got permission from the county to open up at a slightly higher rate of occupancy. We have still been recommending pretty low occupancy, as has the county health department itself. In that particular case, they worked it out with the county. But for most of our Greek houses, they are still fairly low in their population if there are people living there at all at this point. And I would point out that the positivity rate among the Greek houses is still pretty low. It's 2.7% this week with the test results. That was 2.5 the week prior. So staying about the same, but much, much lower than it was earlier in the semester, which was around 25%. We're doing much better in that population. Really, probably we've had more positive rates among the off-campus Greek students, although that's actually down lower than the ones. I'm sorry, I actually got this backwards. The ones who are Greek students living off campus was at 2.7%. In the Greek houses, it's 1.3%. That is down from 1.5% the week prior.
Excellent. So, all right, that's moving. So if they can check all these boxes off, then they can, with the health department and everybody else, move in the right direction. Chuck Carney's the doctor. He checks in with us every Wednesday. It's multiple big things at IU. What used to be three big things, I opined earlier, the idiot came up with the title of the segment, which is me. That's a terrible thing, because we thought three things, that'll be just fine. And then since March, it's been about three things every 3 minutes. So here you are. Your own labs are open for COVID-19 mitigation testing. Tell me what that means. Tell me where they are. And that's right here in Bloomington, right?
Yeah. So we actually have three labs that have opened up. And actually, I should say that they are in the process of opening.
So, okay, gotcha.
So we've got two of them that are in Indianapolis, and one of them is in Bloomington. And what that will allow us to do is to process our own tests on site rather than send them off. So as it is right now, you take a test, it has to be sent off to a lab in New Jersey, And then that is processed, and it takes about 2 days to get it done. Fairly quick, but we obviously are hamstrung for the number of tests that we can do with that because of cost and because of time. And this way, we'll be able to do them more quickly and more often. So what we will be building up to is 5,000 tests a day is what we're building up to. So the lab that is on the Bloomington campus is running tests today as we speak, and we hope to have all of them up and running in full here by sometime next week. Certainly the Bloomington one will be up by then.
I love reading all these articles that are put together, and when I get to the part about liquid handling robots handle the process, how long did it take to put all this together? You know, it's just not an assembly line of people like perhaps in the olden days when you would just work the assembly. I don't know, like Laverne and Shirley, or we're not talking about that. This is high tech, high level stuff. How long did this take to put together?
Well, it's taken since the early stages of our planning for the pandemic. We knew it would take quite a while. The goal was always mid-October to early November to get this up and running. And so that's what we're on target to do. You have to order the equipment, of course, because this is not something that you necessarily have everything on site. Plus, you have to order the things that you use to do the testing, tubes and the chemicals and things like that. So it took all of this time to get all of that ordered and in place. And of course, we're not the only ones who are trying to put together their own testing labs, although I don't know of any other university that's really doing it quite like this. We have the benefit of the medical school, and that is allowing us to jump into this in a way that probably other universities simply aren't equipped to do. So that helps a whole lot. And one thing I should correct myself on, I looked this up. So we're going to start out doing about 5,000 tests a day. The ultimate goal is 15,000 per day. So once we have three labs that will be up and running, then we should be able to do 15,000 a day. That will be far and above what is being done in the entire state of Indiana, just on our Bloomington camp or on our IU campuses.
I'm going to do some quick math here, and I'm really bad at math. If you can help me out here, there's 48,000, we'll say 45,000 people on campus because it divides 15,000 a lot easier than 48,000 does.
Yeah, but you're just talking students with that figure. So remember, we're testing students, faculty, and staff.
What is that gross number approximately?
Oh, gosh. When you start talking about that, then you're closer to 100,000.
Okay. I just want to put it in perspective for people when they say, well, testing 15,000. So that means everybody gets one every fifth day.
That's about right.
So do you just continue that cycle, or?
Yeah, and some people may be tested as much as twice a week. Because if we feel like there is a population that may be more at risk, then we would test them more frequently. But for somebody like me, I have been tested once this semester, and I go to campus once a week generally. But I will probably be tested once a week when this starts getting up and rolling. And that will allow us to have a really, really close handle on any potential outbreak and any hotspots that may be coming up.
Interesting. Do you think you'll go back to campus more often now that there'll be more testing available? Is that part of the going back to normal part, or is what's working now is working now?
Well, it would help certainly, but of course, bear in mind that we are built with the semesters as we've got them. In-person classes will halt on November 20th.
Good point.
And then we'll begin again in person on February 8th. So there will still be a significant amount of people working off campus throughout that, me included. And part of the reason for that, too, is that the weather is going to be cold and everybody's going to be forced inside. So do you want to gather that many people inside during cold and flu season? Now, if we're able to get a handle on this, probably not just as IU, but as a country by the early part of the spring, then we might be able to have many more people working on campus. But it's a fair bet that for some time, you're going to have a good portion of IU working out of home offices.
Chuck Carney, the doctor, checks in every Wednesday to make sure that we're not sick. And we're not. That's the good news. And he's going to get tested a lot. and so are the IU faculty, staff, and everybody else with that. So we'll have more updates on that as we move forward. A couple more things before we let you go. President McRobbie is going to speak on election security coming up tomorrow. And this bold headline that jumps off the HT, IU Library named Federal Depository Library of the Year. What time does the parade start?
Well, I'm not entirely sure when they do the parade, but a nice designation for the library, which has been doing something in really difficult circumstances. Imagine something where you rely a lot on physical collections. Now, they have a lot of things online, but they did get that award on October 20th. And to let people know what a federal depository library is.
You mind reader.
IU was named that by Senator Benjamin Harrison in 1881. So that is the designation that was given by Benjamin Harrison himself. The Government Publishing Office recognizes a federal depository library that furthers its mission of ensuring the American public has free access to government information in extraordinary ways every single year. So this year, it's the Herman B. Wells Library, which is now one of just over 1,000 designated libraries in the Federal Depository Library Program. And I will tell you, as someone who has completed a PhD on this campus, that is a resource that is not to be taken lightly. You can get anything through our library. I have requested books from other campuses, not even IU campuses, that I've had sent here. I've requested documents that I've gotten electronically. It is an amazing resource. If you want to just get lost in looking at stuff, go to the library's website and find all these different trails that you can go look.
Yeah, kids call that going down the rabbit hole, right? Get lost down there.
Incredibly fun. It's that and the IU archives. I can't recommend more.
Now, last week I told you to put something on the back burner that we would revisit this week, and I believe Dan Smith, is that right? Dan from...
The IU Foundation president.
Was at the Kelly School.
Was at the Kelly School.
Went to the foundation.
So he is retiring from being the CEO of the IU Foundation to return to the Kelly faculty.
And that's we didn't want that to slip through the foot. So he's retiring from one thing to go back to work. That sounds like Kellum's a little bit.
This is what faculty do. So once you have a faculty appointment and you take on a nice administrative role where that's pretty demanding like his is, then after a while you have to go, okay, let's go back to the faculty and do the research that I came here to do to begin with. And he's obviously done a great job there, and as evidenced by the recently concluded bicentennial campaign. So at the conclusion of that, he is stepping back to be a Kelly faculty member. And J.T. Forbes will wear two hats, both as the IU Foundation or IU Alumni Association president, and he'll be the interim CEO of the IU Foundation once Dan Smith steps away, and that will come June 30th.
If we get to June 30th, let's get through 2020 first, and then we'll
We get to June 30th, man, you are dark today.
Well, it's dark outside. I'm trying to find some. I'll be in a better mood tomorrow when the sun's out, that's for sure. I'm always in a good mood when I talk to you, though, Chuck. We appreciate the insight and the time. We'll let you get to class today and get them started on everything. And just promise you'll come back next week for the big Halloween show. Costumes, regalia, candy, the whole nine yards. We'll do it next Wednesday just after 3:35.
All right, we will do it.
And by costume, I mean not you got to wear something besides the three choices you give us each week. We need well, something fresh.
Not exciting enough, eh?
Well, I'd like to see the suit of armor. That would be something. And then okay. I'd find a way to stream the show if we could do that as well. All right, my man, always great. I hope to see you soon. Stay healthy, and we'll do it next week.
All right, thanks.